How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Lots of stuff to talk about here today. Dave Meltzer will be joining us in the second segment of the show. Mike Sempervivi will be here after the break. We'll take your phone calls, emails, text messages, and more. If you want to give us a call, it is toll-free, 844-411-5411. That is toll-free, 844-411-5411. Text messages to 425-780-7566. The best of the Super Juniors is a big story over the last couple of days. It kicked off two nights ago, continued last night with more matches, including Will Ospreay and Ricochet. A crazy match. If you want to see what's probably the craziest state-of-the-art match in 2017, well, it's available right now on NJPWWorld.com. I've now seen all of the matches from the past two days. If you want to talk about any of them, you are welcome to do so here on the program. We've also got a lot of news on everything coming up this weekend, not the least of which is the WWE Backlash pay-per-view with the Maharaja getting his championship match against Randy Orton, as well as Breezango versus the Usos, Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles, which should be a very good match, and more. We got SmackDown ratings to talk about here today, as well as the full lineup. We now have five matches official for the TakeOver Chicago show, which is coming up on Saturday night for NXT. And yes, I don't really know what this means, but Dana White and Conor McGregor have come to terms for Conor's side of the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight. We'll talk about all of that and more here today. Wrestling Observer live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Lots to talk about here today. The shows this coming weekend. Best of the Super Juniors tournament. Mike, have you seen all the matches?
You know what? I have not seen Liger and Takahashi yet from today. I was cutting it close on time, and when it comes to the Liger matches, considering this is going to be his last one, I kind of want to let him marinate a little bit, so I wasn't sure how long the match went for, but I wanted to give it its time.
Mike, as our resident New Japan expert here, let me give you a piece of advice.
Oh, yeah? Go ahead.
Yes. If there's a bunch of matches and you're pressed for time, and one of them involves Jushin Thunder Liger, and the other one involves Tai Chi, skip the Tai Chi one.
Well, I started with that one, and then I
realized...
That
was your mistake.
Well, that I know, exactly. It. That's where I was cutting very close on time. And to be honest, though, one could argue that if you had to toss one up, what was going to be more important today, that Liger-Takahashi one, or would it be Ospreay and Ricochet? Now, I must ask you, considering that you have a reputation for yourself, did you see any of these?
Dude, I've seen all of them. That's why told you should have skipped the Tai Chi match.
Whoa, Brian saw the matches.
I could have told you that going in if you saw yesterday's show.
Did
skip
you
every
finish
match.
Yesterday's show, by the way?
I finished everything. Skip every match involving Tai Chi. Do you hear me out there? It sucks.
What if you like the women?
What do you mean, what if you like the women?
He's the only good one with a
I don't
a
know if you're aware of
side.
This, but there's a thing called the internet, as well as wives. So, listen, I have plenty of women in my life. I don't need to see.
Oh, yeah?
I don't need to see Tai Chi's matches to see women.
Really? How about Peter?
Can we just get him out of the tournament already?
Well,
his two matches have sucked. You hear me? Meanwhile, Liger's two matches have been great.
Look, somebody's got to take a two or a four. He's part of a big group. He is a standby. I know what you mean. I know. I understand.
Go watch this match and get back to me. You already saw it. Watch the Liger match and get back to me.
I know. It was Taka Liger from yesterday. It was not.
The Takahashi Liger match actually was great. Liger is great. But now he's lost twice. They're doing a story here. Let's see what happens.
There are plenty of stories, too. A lot of people ask, you know, what are they thinking with the booking when it comes to tournaments, the G1 and the Best of the Super Juniors in Japan? And the thing is, there are several stories running at once. There will be a guy that probably starts off very slowly, that will pick up wins at the end. There's a lot of strategery that goes around with the booking of these shows that always seem to work out in the end. So if anybody is too excited or maybe doesn't understand why something is taking place right now, let it all play out, because there have been very few times when a person has ever gone undefeated throughout an entire tournament. In fact, the only one may have been Liger.
By the way, to this point, the best finish in the tournament still goes to the Taguchi-Kanemaru match. That was awesome. That was awesome. Do you hear me? It was awesome. Everything's been good. Nothing's been terrible except Taichi, but I think we've already gone through that.
Yes.
If you take his matches out of the tournament, every single match has been good or very good or even great. The Will Ospreay-Ricochet match was... something else.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
I would not call it one of the matches of the year or anything like that. Unless you really like flips, then it may be the match of the year. If you like flips, it is a match of the year. But if you want a little more in your wrestling, and I'm not denigrating this match by saying this, but there have been better matches this year. But it was the best match in the tournament so far. The Dragon Lee Hiromu Takahashi match.
Wait a second.
Yes.
You think that's been the best match of the tournament so far?
Yeah, what's been better?
I don't know. That the Dragon Lee Kamitachi from yesterday, you could argue was better.
No, this one was better.
Really?
That was a very good match, but Will Ospreay and Ricochet was better. You want me to rank them here? The last seven matches?
You can start from the bottom with Taichi.
Taichi match was the worst by far. It's not even close.
1-1A or whatever it would be.
Let's see here. I really love the two Liger matches. I don't know if I could put them in the top three. The Dragon Lee Takahashi match would probably be second. And, maybe the Marty Scurll Will Ospreay would be third. Those are the top three in my mind.
Yeah, I would say you can mix those up and shake them out any way you want, and they can be your top three. And, you know, it probably says a lot about Ospreay and Ricochet. Look, if you love them, you would have loved this match. I bet you think it is revolutionary. They are taking everything and carrying it into the new millennium. They did the callback to the spot that many people thought was so controversial last year with the tumbling floor exercise into the face-off. But hey, you know, if that's your thing, then that's your thing. They're going to give you enough on these shows where you're not going to be force-fed anything that you don't want. If you don't like it, that's fine. There will probably be something for you on here. So anybody that still gets too excited about this or wants to continue to live this Rip Rogers, Randy Orton, Ospreay thing, I guess good for you.
Look at this geek, James E. Barnett here. Brian, you're just biased against Taichi because he's in Suzuki-Goon and a heel. You're worse than David Crockett. You know who else? You know who else in Suzuki-Goon and is a heel? Minoru Suzuki, and he's awesome. Taichi's terrible.
Well, you can't.
Would you like to recap
it?
The Taichi Takamichinoku match? Let's see. They did absolutely nothing for the first 75% of the match. What happened?
That was the best part of the match.
Then there was Taichi pretending that he hurt his leg. That was another 24% of the match. That leaves 1%. And that 1% was he jumped up, kicked Taka low, and cradled him and pinned him.
And then 0.60 of that sucked.
And then they hugged. That match was terrible. Do you hear me? That match was terrible. If I have to hear Dave say, that match was pretty good, I'm going to be pretty angry. Because it wasn't. It was terrible. Not everything in New Japan is great. Occasionally, once every 5 years. Actually, it's daily now. You get a Taichi match.
You know, this is a complete turn to something else for no apparent reason. The thought of Jimmy Valiant, Memphis 1984 Jimmy Valiant in an All Japan ring came to mind. And it's just one of those things that's like you don't think about, but then you'll like cross paths with one of these things. Maybe somebody that's new to New Japan World will find something that just doesn't make any sense on there. And it's always a good reminder that, you know, the wrestling sometimes gets romanticized.
If you give me Taguchi versus Jimmy Valiant today.
Well, today, yes.
I would accept that match. I would accept it back then, too. It would have been awesome.
Well, okay. How about location,
least,
though? In the studio, yes.
At least he wrestled.
No,
unlike
he didn't.
Taichi.
No, Jimmy Valiant?
Yeah, he did. He threw punches and he cheated, But he moved and he danced and like stuff happened the entire match, unlike in the Tai Chi match when absolutely nothing happened.
Can you imagine Taichi and Larry Zbysko circa like 86 or 87? Oh my God.
So anyway, the other big news out of New Japan is that Hiroshi Tanahashi has in fact torn his biceps tendon. They have removed him from this entire tournament and he is going to rest all the way up until June 9th and he's going to be wrestling again.
Whew, long time there.
This dude, when you tear your bicep tendon, this is like a 6-month injury. He's coming back in less than a month, and he's going to be wrestling all of his matches.
Got Cena's rehab guy.
Cena's rehab guy doesn't get Cena back in less than a month. This is
madness.
That's
a challenge.
This is madness. Well, and by the way, this is coming one day after I read that thing from New Japan, where they said that if a wrestler in a series, I believe they said, I guess that's the out. This was a series they've removed him from, but they vowed to take better care of the wrestlers and give them time to heal and that whole rigmarole, and now here he is coming back on June 9th. I don't think this is a good idea.
Probably not, no. It's a little, I don't know how bad the tear is truly or anything like that. But yeah, there's no reason to me, but I'm also not Tanahashi, and you know how it goes. Fighters heal faster than normal men.
This person says, how could Mike forget that Prince Devitt went undefeated in his final Best of the Super Juniors before moving to heavyweight?
He did. He did indeed.
Mm. That's why I'm the new resident New Japan expert here on this show.
Spell it.
What? Expert? E-X-P-E-R-T.
Resident.
I won the spelling bee, Mike, so don't try to pull this one on me.
Mm-hmm.
This person says, what do you think of Hideo Itami heading into TakeOver? Personally, I think he's lost a lot of steam since his injury. Well, you're right. That's absolutely correct. But it's his turn to headline for a while. And so we're going to get him and Bobby Roode, and we'll see what happens. I have not been impressed, but we shall see. Back in a moment with Dave Meltzer, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is joining us as always. New issue of The Observer is up on the front page as we speak. Dave, what's going on?
Tons. God, I just watched the Ricochet-Will Ospreay match, so that was pretty interesting.
Have you watched all of them or just that one?
That's the only one I've watched from today.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Liger, how's Liger's match?
Liger's match is very good. And the Dragon Lee match is very good, and the Tai Chi match is absolutely horrific.
There it is.
I think we're going to get a lot of those this tour.
Oh, my God. Oh, it was terrible. But yeah, what'd you think of the main event?
They bring out the best and the worst in each other. I'll say that. It was fantastic. But it was they can do stuff with each other that, you know, nobody else can do. So they showcase it, but there's so much that they can do that nobody else can do that they do too much of it, in my opinion, in some sequences. But it's a phenomenal match. Sometimes I'm just going like, wow, wow, wow. But at other times it's like, wow, but I've already, you know what I mean? It's like, I've seen that spot already, kind of. I don't know.
Doesn't
I don't want to
Ospreay's...
be mad about it, but... But it wasn't like a perfect match, but it was a mind-blowing great match.
Doesn't Ospreay kind of say it all afterwards when he says, you know, this wrestling to me is performance art, or, you know, it's an art form. Whereas there are still a lot of people that will look at that and go, that was not enough simulated fight to me. You know what I mean? And it's just...
I kind of agree to an extent that there were times, because I was thinking the same thing, there were points in the match where I was feeling that it wasn't enough of a fight to be like a perfect match. But I mean, it's still a great match. But if there's a flaw, it's that it's so much... It's that those guys are so good with each other that they trust each other to do things so much, and it's... It's almost like I don't say performance art. I mean, it is, but it's like, there were times it felt like they're showing off as opposed to trying to simulate trying to do an intense pro wrestling match. But at times they had that too. And at the beginning, you know, they did some really good stuff at the beginning. They tried to do, you know, and they had a half hour. They tried to do a lot of different things in the match, and they did a lot of different things in the match. But it wasn't like, you know, like if you compare it to, you know, and they weren't trying to do Okada and Shibata, and, you know, that match had its terrible outcome, obviously, but Okada and Shibata was, that to me, like, that had an intensity level that these guys didn't have.
I think there's one, and I'll shut up in a minute, Brian, but I think there's one thing that I think can be definitely said, no matter how much you like this match or maybe didn't, they can still meld together as we go on down the line and as the future takes us. They haven't had their best match together yet.
I believe you're completely right, and I believe that they're both going to get, in time, much better than they are now, especially Will Ospreay. And, you know, the thing, it's like, they're going to be, and they already are, they already are two of the best. And, I mean, the idea that Will Ospreay had the match with Jay White on Friday in Philadelphia, and then he had the match with Marty Scurll yesterday, and then he had the match with Ricochet today, and this is all in just a couple-day period. And he probably had I think they had a great match in Philadelphia as well. So the other one was in New York, I should say. But it's like the idea that he's doing four of those matches in what is it, 6 days? You know what I mean? It's like, it's insane.
The Observer's got a lot of New Japan business notes, including the fact that they have quadrupled business since 2011. And perhaps most shocking to me, we all know that, like, the Bullet Club and the merchandise is hot, but $35 per head?
Well, that's on a great night, but it's usually about 25 per head.
That's still on a great
still
night.
Really good.
25 on a bad night is still almost triple what WWE does.
2.5 times, yeah. No, from a merchant, the one category, and I mean, they're still not comparable to WWE in any category, but the one category that they beat WWE is merchandise per head, where they beat them handily. Their acts and their groups, LIJ and Bullet Club and you know, Tanahashi and these people like that, I mean, their acts themselves are very, very hot. I mean, it's the key. It's like UFC is the same way in a lot of ways. When you have, granted, it was a different era and things like that, but if you adjust for inflation, you know, the that Stone Cold era of WWE, the merchandise would probably be, you know, not quite at that level, but close. But when you have super over guys, you're going to sell more merchandise. But when you have kind of over guys, and have a truckload of merchandise, you know, you'll still sell good merchandise like WWE, but it's not going to be. I mean, that's the one thing that New Japan kind of hasn't beat on, is this, in a sense, New Japan does a better job of getting their individuals over than WWE does. And I think some of that has to do with booking, and some of it has to do with the fact that their top guys are, you know, they have a few guys in New Japan that are really charismatic at a different level of the top guys of WWE, honestly.
So they've got a press conference coming up today where they will be announcing the Access TV plans for the Long Beach shows. And we presume we know what those are.
Yeah, so it's Friday is going to go live, and then the Saturday show is going to go live on Saturday night, which will be July the 1st, and the July 2nd show is probably going to air on July the 8th, which would be a Friday night in like a three and a half hour block on Access tape, you know, in their normal time slot.
But the Saturday show, which is live, the one which is not live, you'll be able to see on New Japan World.
Right, it'll be live on both will be live on New Japan World with Kevin Kelly and Don Callis announcing.
We've also got the news of Tanahashi's biceps injury that's going to keep him out of action for almost a month.
Almost a month. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. He's out of his
mind. That's a bad move. I mean, that's all I got to say. It's a bad move. I know how they think. I was pretty sure that he was, if there was any way possible, he wasn't going to miss the match with Naito. He's not missing the match with Naito. He's not missing the G1. But it's the same thing as Tama Tonga. You just, you know, I saw this, and I mean, the one that comes to mind was Hashimoto, when Hashimoto had the bad shoulder. And he worked on it and worked on it and basically destroyed his career. Yeah. Because he just felt like he had that mentality that I'm not going to go out of action even though I need surgery, you know, because the company needs me. And his company did need him. Tanahashi, I mean, as much as New Japan does need Tanahashi to a degree, they're strong enough that they can survive 6 months without him, and it would be better long-term for him to have, you know, 5, 6, 7 years or whatever it is, rather than, like, ruin his career in 1 year like Hashimoto did. I strongly disagree with, I know the mentality, I get it, but New Japan, it's not like it's 5 years ago. And 5 years ago, losing Tanahashi when they were so thin, you know, would have been devastating. But right now, they can afford it. You know, Tanahashi doesn't have to be in the main thing. Okada and these other guys, Omega, they can carry the company, and they can carry. G1's going to be great even without Tanahashi. There's so much talent there. So I wished that he would just get it taken care of, but he's not.
Dave, like Hashimoto, I mean, there was so much money that was being made at the time. I mean, are they looking at, could they possibly be looking at this in the same way where it's just we have this American thing going on and the match and all of this, they've worked themselves into a frenzy, or are they just, I'm blown away where if it's torn and he can be out, there's no reason for him to be there. Why are they doing this?
It's the mentality. You know, they don't like to false advertise big shows. They have plans. They hate to change plans. You know, and everyone does. Everyone hates to change plans. But that's the one thing where WWE, if it was in WWE, they would bite the bullet. And to a degree, I mean, obviously John Cena came back way early from that torn pec, you know, way, way early, and risked a lot when he did that a few years back. But generally speaking, I mean, the thing is like, their big expansion plans are 2018. If he got that surgery taken care of now, he'd be ready in 2018, and he'd be, you know, I don't want to say 100%, but he'd be 95% as opposed to, you know, maybe being 60% or 70%. And you know, so it's you know, like, again, it's their goals are long-term. This year, they're going to do fine this year with or without him, so he doesn't need to be back. And if it means we have to change our plans for the Intercontinental title, so be it. WWE had to change their plans for bunch of pay-per-views because of Braun Strowman.
Well, look at New Japan. I mean,
that's just part of the business.
Devitt, I mean, this time of year, Devitt had at least two Super Juniors where he was out. Liger got hurt in a Super Junior. They are so able to change plans when it comes to these tournaments and fix things so swiftly that look so complicated. I know Tanahashi's a big name, and I know it's a big match, and I understand all of that stuff, but it's so seemingly short-sighted when they have the creative ability and the room to do it.
Yep.
Well, I think there's
maybe
also maybe
something where Naito injures him, but I seriously doubt they will. I mean, I just don't see them doing that.
I think there also could be the aspect that they're very good at what they do, and so it looks easy when they just flip things around, but it probably isn't. Would be my guess.
But I mean, like the big thing is G1, and they've got months to read. You know, and I'm sure the G1 isn't completely mapped out yet. I mean, I think the finals probably are. But the, you know, who beats who and everything like that probably isn't. So they can, you know, they can work that without him. But I know that, like, it's, you know, it is their big time of the year and everything like that. And you know, Tanahashi's a warrior, and they have that mentality, company comes first. I mean, that's the one thing in Japan that the guys really have. That's why, you know, that's why when people will go to me and goes, oh, you know, what do you think about this guy leaving for WWE as far as on the Japanese side? And I know Nakamura did, but it's like you'd be surprised. These guys, you know, Kobashi never left. Misawa never left. Their mentality is company first.
All right, we got to head to a break. Dave, I want to thank you so much. The New Observer, front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to give us a call, phone lines are open now. 844-411-5411. That is toll-free, 844-411-5411. You can send your text messages to 425-780-7566. We'll get into those here. I have a compelling one. This person just says, have I been banned? What does that mean? Who is this? I've only banned one person, and I don't think that you're that person. Otherwise, I wouldn't have got this text message.
That's true.
If you're asking why perhaps I haven't read your text messages, well, we get a whole bunch of them. I may have just missed them every day.
But maybe this person is using somebody else's phone. They just forgot the very important aspect to say, hey, this is who I am.
I don't think that's who we're talking about here.
Okay.
This person says, comments on Five Star Wrestling offering CM Punk $1 million to perform in their large tournament.
Why?
What do you want me to say? Why would you pay CM Punk $1 million to be in your tournament?
If I were him, I'd take it.
Dude, I wouldn't.
For one night?
No.
Million?
No.
In advance?
It wouldn't be one night. It's a tournament. They're going to want him to go all the way.
No, they didn't say that. They just said they wanted him to appear. I can take the fall in a couple minutes and be out.
I'm quite confident if they're paying him $1 million, he's not appearing for one night to take a fall.
Mm.
Trust me. It's not worth the money. I'm telling you right now. You are not making $1 million off this investment. This person here says, wasn't Tanahashi injured this time last year and missed the Intercontinental title ladder match with Omega? He was, but I forget what the injury was. What was it?
Shoulder.
Shoulder?
I don't know. I can't remember.
He just made that up. Why don't you go find out and I'll
read
some
news here. Been doing the show with you for too long here. Hold on. Let me hit Wikipedia.
Last night is being Tuesday's SmackDown on the USA Network down to 2.175 million viewers, the third lowest total since the brand split and the move to a live format. The only two shows that it beat were last year's November 8th episode, which was against the presidential election coverage, and the October 25th episode, which was against the final presidential debate. Tuesday's big competition was the Golden State Warriors versus San Antonio Spurs NBA playoff game and the NBA draft lottery, soon to be called the Superstar Shakeup of the NBA. Those broadcasted 5.775 million and 3.224 million viewers, respectively, both aired against SmackDown. Now, I think it's pretty clear that SmackDown is facing very, very strong competition from the NBA, as is Raw. But the big question is going to be, what kind of bounce back are we going to get? Is this all the NBA, or is this the fact that SmackDown is building around the Maharaja? And maybe people aren't into that. We'll find out soon enough.
First, Tanahashi was a shoulder injury.
I knew it.
And two, now if they wanted to, WWE can use or is getting very close to using the excuse that, well, you know, it's summer and kids are out of school and the days are longer and families are doing stuff. So it's that summer thing that happens.
SmackDown go-home show built around an opening match for Jinder Mahal versus AJ Styles. That's quite a way to kick off the show. And the main event build is Randy Orton versus Baron Corbin. And, of course, we've got Orton versus Mahal Sunday at the Backlash show. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. What's going on?
Hey, Brian. John from Arkansas. I was listening to you guys talk earlier today, you and Dave, about the Tanahashi situation. You know, I'm with you guys on that. I mean, why risk, you know, him getting hurt again so quickly? Just take the time to take him out, let him get healthy instead of rushing him back in there. I mean, if this guy's your cash cow, why would you do this to him?
Well, they've got a lot of cash cows, actually. They have many cash cows.
Well, yeah.
Well, I think Dave went over it.
I'm with you kind of on the Taichi thing, too.
You're with me on the Taichi thing? You better be.
Yeah, it wasn't
exactly the
most stellar thing to see.
No, it was terrible. Have you watched all the matches, John?
Yes, I did, and it's one of these things that what I saw from them, even at worst matches, is still better than 90% of what I've seen from WWE.
Okay, let's not get crazy. Let's not get crazy. The Taichi matches were worse than Raw. Fact.
All right, I'll give you that one.
Thank you. All right, well, thank you very much for the call, John. Yes, Tanahashi, not thinking with his brain. Got to take time off, everybody. And he's old. It's only going to get worse.
Liger, 53, 52?
52 years old.
It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Trying to think, a couple years ago, God, it's been more than a couple years ago now, Tenryu and Choshu and these guys in their Liger in his early 50s, it's amazing that some of these guys have been able to go on for so long working the styles that they have. And I know there's, you know, people will point to Flair, and there's a lot of, you know, people here in America too, but it is amazing some of these guys have been able to go on for as long as they have and be so good. If you didn't know that Liger was that old, you'd never believe it. You'd absolutely never believe it. And obviously having the suit helps. And you've talked about that a million times of why guys in Mexico can go on for so long. Because as long as you can still go, you know, to some point physically and you have enough charisma radiating out of that costume, the mask and the bodysuit can take you absolutely so far. But Liger is just, he really is at another stage to be able to do what he does against a variety of people, a variety of ages, night after night after night, if he so chose. And he's taken a lot of time off in the last couple of years and gone on extended breaks, but it is amazing what he's been able to do.
Chad here says, I'm about halfway through the death of WCW. How much did you drink to get through those terrible nitros and pay-per-views? Nothing. Imagine that.
Mm.
I watched all those shows sober. You can grab it, by the way, if you get an Audible free trial. Go to audible.com. The free trial includes a free book. You can get the death of WCW. So head over there and check that out. I'll tweet a link out later.
You got to be lucid to really understand the insanity that it was. You know, you start getting faded. You might find some of it funny or amusing or blow some of it off. No, you have to be stone sober to understand the lunacy and the LSD trip that was actually taking place on your screen.
Now, I'm getting ready to drink again as I recap them for the Retro Raw Nitro shows. I'm not sure I can get through it twice sober. Once I could do. I'm not sure about twice. It's getting hard. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air.
Hi, Brian. How you doing? It's Andrew from Dublin. So a nice segue with your pint of Guinness.
What's happening?
I'm just finished the death of WCW. Again, another segue. And was mentioning that Vince McMahon was convinced he was going to go to jail during the steroid trial. Do you think he would have sold to Turner, or who do you think internally he would have handed the reins over to while he was in prison?
It was going to be Patterson.
No, Jerry Jarrett.
Oh, Jerry Jarrett. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and there's the thing, too. It was going to be a brain trust. Jerry Jarrett, because he could see the overall regional operation of a promotion. I mean, as far as the ops go, you could have trusted Jerry Jarrett at the time. And considering the contraction that they were under as far as touring and things like that go, I mean, I'm not saying that they were a Northeast promotion, but I mean, they were kind of, I'm not saying a Northeast promotion, but their TV was far more important than their house shows were at the time. So he could oversee that easily with Pat Patterson and a group of other people actually probably cranking out creative and being along for the ride.
And the other thing is, I don't think that Vince was presuming that he was going to go to prison for life. I think he figured if he went to prison, it would be a few years, and then he would come back. And
he could still operate out of prison, too. I mean, to a degree, it's not like he would have been in, you know, Rikers Island or anything like that.
Oh, I think that was an echo. Go ahead.
Oops.
Go ahead.
No, that was about it. Again, it's not like he, you know, you couldn't visit Vince and things could get traded and how are things going. It's not like he wouldn't be less creative in prison. You know what I mean?
Might be more creative. I want to thank you very much for the call. First, it says, I just realized why Bayley is flopped on the main roster. She was over in NXT because she felt genuine and that connected with the fans. Now she's another fake WWE character. Yes.
Yeah.
That is exactly the problem. And they book her. It's not even so much that. I mean, it's not even so much the character. That is an aspect of it. But they book her like a numbskull.
Baby faces. They don't know how to make them.
It was so bad on Monday. So bad. You can't challenge a heel. Or you can't even. It's not even that. She attacked the heel because the heel had won a verbal debate, which makes her look like a crybaby. Then she got beaten up. In a fair fight.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Why is it so hard?
I don't know. And the thing is, it's not like they can't rebuild it or anything, but that you never get that second chance to make a first impression. There were a lot of people that did not see her exploits in NXT and didn't really realize the gravity of what they were doing there. All they had to do was kind of tell the same exact story up on the main roster, and I think people would have accepted it, and it would have been fine. They just couldn't help themselves.
This person here says the pegboard used by the fashion police on SmackDown had the famous mugshot of Vince in the upper top corner. Hilarious. I love that mugshot. I love that mugshot. The mugshot that Stephanie would not take. Didn't want her kids to Google it.
Oh, God.
Vince didn't care.
Wait a second.
This is why Vince is so awesome.
This coming from the same woman who had Steve Austin, remember, grab the drink. Drinks away from her, ripping her top off, sending her running to the back.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's just goofy storyline. I think the concern was they'd think she really got arrested.
Wait, but the goofy storyline, it was too much of a goofy storyline for Kurt Angle to ever be in love with her, right?
Why are you asking me?
Just throwing these out there.
And he wasn't with her. They teased it, but then she, of course, chose the real man at Triple H.
Well, yeah, because why would somebody like Stephanie ever be in love with a guy like Kurt Angle? That's how that story went, right?
The takeover being this Saturday, what's your take on NXT superstars transitioning to the main roster? Because over the past few years, it seems like a disaster. For example, Sami Zayn, Bayley, American Alpha, Sasha, going from top of the NXT card to having been marginalized. My question is, how would you fix this problem of NXT superstars not being marginalized instantly once they get called up? Depends on who they are and if there's a plan for them. Like, Vince isn't sitting there booking NXT and watching the show every week. Hunter is. So, Hunter's doing whatever he wants. He's making all of his stars. He's got ideas. He pushes certain guys. They end up getting called up to the main roster when it's their turn. And then Vince gets a hold of them. And some of them he sees something in, like Baron Corbin. And some of them he doesn't see anything in. Now, another aspect of the problem is, you may be stunned to hear this, but he sees something in Bayley. But he books her like this. He's not trying to kill her character. He thinks he's doing something right. He thinks he's turning her into the female Daniel Bryan. And he is. Except she's actually not getting over, even though he did. That's what's happening.
That's true.
Like, Vince and Hunter, they agree on a lot of things. Like, they both think that Roman Reigns should be the top guy. Hunter and Vince. But Hunter sees things in other guys that Vince doesn't see anything in, and vice versa. And so if you have one guy running developmental with his ideas, and you have another guy running the main roster with his ideas, then you are going to have things like this happening. The guys that Hunter develops that are the kind of guys that Vince, or girls, that Vince is going to be all into, like, they're going to do great. You know who's doing great on the main roster? Alexa Bliss. Mm. They're gung-ho behind her. She has not been marginalized. So it's not like there's no one simple answer to it. I mean, if you want one simple answer, here it is. Hunter should only develop people that Vince is going to like. That would be the simple answer. But that ain't going to happen. So we end up getting what we get.
What do you think Vince thinks about Roddy Strong's theme music?
I don't know. I think Vince looks at Roderick Strong and he looks down because he's short.
He looks like my nephew.
That may not. If he gets one look at Roddy's dad, then we're talking.
That's true.
Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, we got big shows this weekend. NXT, Bobby Roode, Hideo Itami for the NXT title. Asuka, Ruby Riott, and Nikki Cross for the women's title. Authors of Pain versus DIY in a ladder match for the tag team titles. Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne for the UK title. And Roderick Strong versus Eric Young. Backlash is Sunday. Ty Dillinger, Aiden English. Orton versus the Maharaja for the WWE title. Usos versus Breezango. Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles, U.S. title. We have the Welcoming Committee versus Naomi, Charlotte, and Becky. Shinsuke Nakamura, Dolph Ziggler. Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin. And Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. You can check all those out on the WWE Network. We will be following it all here on the show. Had a special show for subscribers yesterday with Lance Storm. We got the Brian and Vinny show tonight, where in fact, we are going to be reviewing NXT, as well as whatever pay-per-view is next, and maybe the AWA, and SmackDown. That's coming up here tonight. And a bunch of shows this weekend as well, all only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. And of course, we're here live and free every day, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, the schedule at SportsByline.com. Immediate replays for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, commercial free, so check that out. And that is it from here. I want to thank Mike as always, callers and listeners, everybody at Sports Byline. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.